farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Why is Navage perfect for allergy sufferers? Rhino Systems Medical Director Dr. Howard Levine explains.
If someone's exposed to allergens, they can get rid of those immediately by washing out the nose. Navage works by pulling saline in one nostril, through the nose and out the other nostril, sucking out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs. Experience on-the-spot relief so you could breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier.
Navage is available at Sam's Club, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or online at Navage.com. Navage, breathe easy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A bipartisan push to hold Russia accountable as it steps up its attacks against Ukraine. A new measure to label Russia a state sponsor of terrorism.
If the bipartisan bill becomes law, Russia would join the likes of Syria, North Korea, and Iran. State sponsors of terrorism. The bill is being led by Senators Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal. It comes a day after Russia and North Korea signed an agreement pledging to support each other if the countries face aggression. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
In Arkansas, Conway County Sheriff officials say suspected killer Stacy Drake is in custody. He's accused of a double murder in Oklahoma and later leading police on a multi-state manhunt. Temperatures, along with the heat index, climbing in the Midwest and Northeast states. New England nearing 100 degrees today. And Alberto, now a tropical depression, but still packing heavy rain and the threat of flooding for South Texas today. This is ABC News. A new warning about artificial intelligence and scams as summer travel season heats up.
The past year and a half has seen anywhere between a 500 and a 900% increase in phishing scams. That's according to Marnie Wilking, Chief Information Security Officer at Booking.com. She also says the practice has been on the rise since the launch of generative AI tools like ChatGPT. Wilking says the hospitality industry is particularly susceptible to this sort of thing, where travelers hand over sensitive information to legitimate-looking emails that are in reality scams. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Today is World Refugee Day. According to the Office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, the focus for this year is solidarity with refugees. New data from the UN agency reveals the number of refugees worldwide has risen to an unprecedented 120 million people. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off SuperPaint products and SuperDeck stains from June 14th through the 24th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayler. Two people are dead following a four-vehicle crash in Dodge County Wednesday. Happened in the town of Herman, where a car driven by a 17-year-old crossed the center line of Highway 33 and struck a pickup truck. An 84-year-old man and 79-year-old woman from Hustisford inside the truck died at the scene. Two cars behind the pickup then collided in a chain reaction. 71-year-old Shorewood man driving the car that rear-ended the pickup was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. While the other car involved received minor damage, neither the driver of that car nor the teen were hospitalized. Sheriff's office is investigating. Charges against one of the Wausau men accused of killing a Stevens Point man will move forward, while another is scheduled for trial.
Brandon Boehm appeared in a Portage County courtroom on Wednesday where a judge bound him over for trial. He did not enter a plea to the count of reckless homicide. That's scheduled for another hearing in September. Court records also show that Christian Emerson has pled not guilty for his charges and has been scheduled for trial in late January. They, along with Arlen Sangster, are accused of beating Donald Mitchell Jr. in a downtown Stevens Point parking lot. The 61-year-old died from his injuries a day later. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Property owners in Madison may see a first-ever property tax referendum on the ballot in November.
The deadline for Alders to make a decision is August 6th. Madison has never put such a referendum on the ballot before, but now the city is facing dire budget news, with the most recent estimate showing a $22 million gap in the city's operating budget for next year. That's not good, but it's not as bad as an earlier estimate of $27 million. That said, this week, Madison Mayor Sacha Rhodes Conway asked city department heads to draft operating budgets with 5% cuts. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Guess what? Today marks the summer solstice. With partly cloudy skies, spotty shower chances still sprinkle their way into our afternoon, while high temperatures flirt with 70. Tomorrow, expect heavy rain and thunderstorms, bringing another flash flood potential. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 72.
Some newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry. Whole bunch of people on the show today, dude. And now I'm apparently here alone. Clay Bertram from Bertram Cattle, then Dr. Deanna Hardy from Merck Animal Health, Josh White from NCBA, a Dr. Whitworth from Oklahoma State University Extension. Later, we've got John Patrick Lopez from Lopez Dorada Foods. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. Of course, we had Chip live at Oklahoma State University just a moment ago, but we didn't have me. So now we got me dialed into the picture, but I'm not hearing Mr. Flory. Mr. Flory?
I was before, so that I can get on here and talk a little bit. Hello?
Hey, that works. That sounds real good.
You got me?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Glad that we got it all figured out, Davis. How's things going your way, buddy?
I think it's going really well. 78 degrees, sunny, a light breeze. Very happy skies today in the city of Kansas.
I got to go to this. We are at a Trust in Beef event.
Okay.
What do you think we had for lunch?
I bet there isn't a chicken for miles from that place.
You should have seen these ribeye sandwiches we had for lunch, dude.
Oh, steak sandwich will hit the spot, man.
Oh, man. So good. So good. And the guys down here are all taking in what they can from Bertram Cattle. We're going to have a conversation with Clay Bertram here in just a little bit. And then we've got a lot of ground that we are going to cover and try to connect as many dots as we possibly can on this sustainability issue. And guys, the more I get into this conversation, the more I'm convinced beef is a sustainable food. It already is. We just need to keep telling the story of how and why it is a sustainable food for the consumers to understand. We're going to do some more of that today. Yeah. All right.
Excellent.
Let's look at the markets.
Chip wheat futures pushed to the downside again today. July soft red winter wheat futures penetrated and closed below support at 575. Chart watchers are now targeting support at the April 18 low of 550. July hard red winter wheat futures also closed below $6 for the first time since April 19 and are back within the boundaries of the March-April sideways trading pattern. The forecast for Russian wheat areas remains mostly dry, but Russia's ICAR Consulting raised its forecast for Russia's wheat crop 500,000 tons to 82 million metric tons. Hmm. July HRW wheat futures 8¾ cents lower on the day, 592. July SRW wheat down 9¼ cents to 572¾. July spring wheat closed at 618¾. It's down 14 today.
Yeah, I know that there's a bunch of guys in hard red winter wheat country that saw their wheat crop get swamped or hailed last night. Yep. That are wondering why this wheat market is under pressure. But I think there's just a lot of figuring out left to do with this year's wheat crop.
Well, Chip, December corn futures opened near session highs and closed near session lows and at the lowest level since February 27. Chart watchers are now targeting support at the 2024 low of 446. Production of ethanol in the weekend of June 14 averaged 1.057 million barrels per day. That's up 34,000 barrels from the previous week. Ethanol stocks did increase 395,000 barrels to 23.617 million barrels. Traders still see little threat to this year's corn crop and are removing supply-side concerns from market prices. The weather forecast calls for above-normal temperatures through the end of the month, but timely rains are also expected to limit stress. July corn futures were 10¼ cents lower at 439¾. September corn down 11 cents to 444¾. December corn futures closed today at 456¾. Down 11 on the day. Man, tough day in the corns.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, the market continues, it seems like, to take supply side concerns out of the market. Yeah. There's a lot to learn about this corn crop, and things will change. Attitudes will change toward it.
Well, the bean oil market traded higher until mid-morning, and that helped to limit downside pressure on the soy complex. In afternoon trade, buyers left the bean oil market, allowing soybeans and bean meal to extend losses. November bean futures traded to a new low and sliced through support levels, opening additional downside price risk. New crop beans spiked support at the contract low set May 31st last year, then recovered to close less than a penny above that support. Optimistic chart watchers are pointing out November beans now have posted a potential long-term double bottom. July beans 18¾ lower today, 11.55¼. August beans off 16¼, 11.39¾. Novi beans closed at 11.16¾. That's down 15¼ cents, Chip.
Yeah, bean oil wasn't enough to hold up the rest of the complex today.
Yep. December cotton today was 14 points lower, 72.62. On your livestocks, August fat cattle futures posted an outside trading day with a close below the opening range, and that points to more consolidation. August live cattle today 45 cents higher, 182.55. August feeders off 12.5 cents, 259.82.5. And on the snout side, front month the lean hog futures gapped lower and left the gap open through the close, Chip. July hogs today were 262.5 lower at 91.15. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Oh, I've had better days, Chip. Yeah. How about yourself?
Dude, this bean market turned really ugly today, a new low.
New low. Corn was ugly, too. You know, I was really hoping, after Tuesday's trade, going into the midweek intermission, I guess we'll call it, 18th, we'd be able to hold on to some of these levels into July option expiration. Sometimes those large areas of open interest act as a little bit of a magnet to the market for 450 July corn beans. It was a little bit all over the place, but I would have thought we would have held together a little bit better. So certainly a little bit disappointing here as we looked at to round out the week. Potentially, you know, I guess if you're looking for potential silver linings, maybe it still comes with options expiration tomorrow, or maybe it comes with some short covering ahead of next week's big quarterly report.
Right, right. Yeah, next week's going to be really important for us here. No question about it. Go over to the livestock trade. The Swiss cheese pattern has come back to the lean hog market, hasn't it?
Oh, man, it's a roller coaster. You know, for the lean hogs, it looks like we're trying to carve out a low, and then we just give it right back. So I still think that the lean hog market is probably now starting to transition into carving out a little bit of low, but we got to get some closes out above technical resistance to really encourage that process to continue for August lean hogs, 92, 93, getting out above there potentially spurs a little bit more upward momentum, and we can repair some of the damage that's been done on the chart over the last several months. But until then, I think the bears are probably still in control of the technical landscape.
Excellent. Excellent. I got to tell you, ribeye steak sandwich for lunch today, Oliver. Yesterday was burnt ends.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. I'm jealous.
I knew you would be. That's why I mentioned it.
Take care, Chip.
You bet. Thank you, buddy. That's Oliver Sloan, Blue Line Futures. All right. We are at the Trust in Beef Ranchers Tour. We'll be back with AgriTalk here in a moment.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. Experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Everyone knows how important calcium-rich milk and dairy products are to building strong bones and teeth in children. But something you might not know, the calcium in milk has been shown to reduce hypertension in adults. So relax with a tall, cool one and raise a toast to good health and to your local dairyman.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. And this June Dairy Month message is being brought to you by Synergy Co-op, your LS tractor dealer. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Deepwater, Oklahoma. I'm your host, Jim Florek, on Super Talk. It's Russ Inbeed, Rancher Stewart. We're at Bertram Cattle, and we're on the campus of Oklahoma State University at, is it Tadasek?
Tadasek Arena, yes, sir.
Tadasek Arena, yes. And that voice that you just heard there is Clay Bertram with Bertram Cattle Company. Clay, it's good to see you again. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for being here today.
You bet. Glad to be here and glad that you are here. I want to start off talking about what's going on with Bertram Cattle. It's a multi-generational operation. It's a family-run operation. How do you manage all of that and keep this thing moving forward on the path that you want to move it?
Well, it's a challenge, Chip. You know, I've been working with Dad, and I will say with, not for.
Yep.
You know, I moved home 24 years ago after spending 6 years in the feedlot to work with Dad in the multi-generational operation. My brother was a part of the operation. He's decided to take another path when I came home. And you know, we were a stocker operation, small cow-calf, and we decided to change that in 2012 at just the start of the drought and shift paths and become a full commercial cow-calf operation along with the stocker operation and just change paths along with our accounting agency, Farm Data Services, that just, you know, cooperates our operation.
Yeah, I talked with Mike about that earlier today. He might have been a step or two ahead of his time with that.
Yes, sir. You know, we were on the forefront of computer technology with our accounting business.
That,
you know, he's always been one step ahead, it seems like, in what he does.
So take that one step ahead with the accounting business, and now you're adopting new technologies on the ranch to help you be more sustainable going forward, right?
Yeah, I think we have to in this beef production system to be sustainable, Chip. And I'll rewind when I came home.
Yeah.
Clay wanted to be the biggest. Clay wanted to be the biggest in this county. I wanted to have the most cows. I wanted to lease up every piece of land I could because biggest to me was the best.
Yeah.
Now let's go to where we are today. We're not the biggest. We don't have the most cows anymore. We are focusing on what we do best with a smaller cow herd with less acres to produce a better, sustainable product that we can sell to our products.
So how are you measuring the output of your ranch? Is it pounds of beef per acre, calves per acre? How do you measure it?
We measure every single thing. Pounds per acre, dollars per acre, input per acre, output per acre. If I can get the number for it, I give it to Mike and he measures it because we have to do a better job of what we're doing. Just because that piece of land across the road is for rent doesn't mean it might fit in our operation. Right. To the amount of fuel we're using, to maybe we need to put blades on the disc this year, to every single thing that goes into our operation, it has a measurability account coming out.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so with that, you've got the data, you've got the data collection, you've got the data analysis. Have you figured out exactly what sustainability means to you? Because a lot of ranchers are still scratching their head saying, this sustainability movement, I don't want to be any part of it. When in reality, they've got a sustainable operation, they just aren't talking about it or measuring it correctly.
To us, sustainability means two things. One, profitability, because if we're not profitable, we're not sustainable.
Amen.
Profitability is not a break even.
Right.
Many producers think, well, if I just make a break even, I made my payments to the producer, we're moving ahead another year. That's not true. Look at how many generations of producers want to come back to the farm and they're eating out of the same trough that fed them for years and years and years. And they want to come back to dad or uncle or brother and they're just operating the same number of acres with the same number of cows, and actually they're going broke.
Yep.
And we have to get away from using that same model to produce and do different things. So we have to look at that. We have Farm Data Services. I operate that. We do different things, and then we also operate the Bertram Cattle Operation to make us more sustainable. The second thing is maybe one of my daughters of five, yes, five girls, want to come back to the operation. But I also, Chip, have to be okay that someday they may not want to come back to the operation. And that's perfectly okay. I think some generations today get caught up with oh, I got to go back to the farm. Yeah. Somebody has to sustain that. The ranch that you guys were at today that I operate has not been in my generation for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's been in my, it's been, we've operated it for 25 years. It's been in the family that operated it from for over 100. That's sustainable. It doesn't necessarily have to be mine, but I can operate it from somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that you've got the data. You've got a way of measuring success and the process and everything. But talk to me about how the data that you collect is used, I don't know, every day, every week, every month, whatever it is, just to help you make decisions about the long-term sustainability of your company. How does it come into play in decision-making?
Well, let's talk about how many pounds of or how many pounds of beef we pulled off of the acreage this year.
Okay.
We're finishing out wheat pasture cattle right now. How many pounds do we pull off of that? We probably overgrazed some of our own pastures this year. We probably ran too many head. So I maybe need to pull back my buy-in next year. If I operated too much cattle, I maybe didn't get the 1.5 to 2 pounds of average daily gain. So I maybe didn't put in a, or put as many pounds on those wheat pasture cattle as I did. When you look at these high cattle prices that we have this year, maybe if I didn't run as many head, they'd have been a few pounds heavier.
Yeah.
So when you analyze that kind of data, you know, then that would have been more pounds and or more profit in my pocket rather than running more head.
Yeah.
Most guys think, well, the more head I run, the more profit I have. Well, maybe the more pounds I would have produced,
right,
the more money I would have made.
Right. Right. Yeah. I got you. I got you. What's the coolest thing you got going out at the ranch right now?
So we've, for the last 3 years, been using some virtual fence technology. So this is some pretty cool technology. We had some humps and bumps when we started trying to keep the collars on the cows and stuff. But for about the last year, we've really been using some virtual fence technology, much like you use your dog in the yard. But with your dog in the yard, you had to bury that line and the dog went past or you shocked him with a controller. We don't have that. We virtually have virtual fence from cloud-based technology where I can move fences with my cows. We have a regular three-rotation pasture where we move them with permanent fences three ways, but we've turned a three-way rotation into about a seven-way rotation with ponds in each of these different areas virtually where we don't have a permanent fence on these cows, and we just put it on there. You know, the cows have the collars around their necks, and we move them as we see fit. So it's some pretty cool technology being able to see where your cows are at any given time via my phone or via the computer.
See, as Jimmy Emmons from Trust and Beef was talking about that this morning on AgriTalk, I was trying to imagine it in my head exactly what this looks like. But guys, understand they're adjusting the boundaries of where the animals can graze that day virtually from the phone, just drawing a new path or a new paddock for those cows to be in that day.
Yeah. Take, for example, the particular place we were on, we're having trouble with a pond dam, some erosion on a pond dam. My landlords don't want the cattle on the pond dam or even in that area. We've had great success for the last 2 years. The cattle haven't been on the pond dam. For the last 30 years, we beat this pond dam to death of cattle walking back and forth to get across it. Cows don't get on it. We have lush grass growing on the pond. The cattle have not even gone near that area. We've kept them off of it. I had a cow that was on the neighbor a couple weeks ago. I virtually saw it. I was at the office, pulled it up, saw the cow was on the neighbor. We got it off the neighbor, fixed the fence. So it's just some real-time technology that we're able to use.
Yeah, yeah. It's not perfect. You said you're not willing to give up your five wires yet.
No, right? It's not perfect. All this technology takes time. Look at our cell phones today. Look where we were 25 years ago with cell phone technology, and look where we are today with this technology. And with the help of USDA, some EQIP grants, and some things that producers can use through some grants and being able to help with the cost of this technology, I think 5 years from now, I would bet that a third of the producers we had here today will be using virtual fence technology.
Why is it important for you to host and run educational tours at your ranch?
To learn from each other. and to help tell the beef story. Farmers and ranchers don't tell our story enough. 2 weeks ago, we had a group of 60 teachers here from Ag in the Classroom that are teaching the younger generation. There are people that want to put us out of business. They don't want you to enjoy that 6 ounce ribeye sandwich right. that you had for lunch today. They want us to eat meat out of a test tube, out of a petri dish, and we have to tell that story so that people can enjoy the most wholesome, healthy beef product that we can provide to everybody across this great United States.
Holy smackerel. That's a good message right there, Clay. Thank you so much for making time for us. Thank you for what you're doing and open up your ranch to Trust in Beef and helping everybody to tell the sustainability story. It's good stuff, man.
Thank you, Chip. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Thank you. That's Clay Bertram, Bertram Cattle Company. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Deanna Hardy from Merck Animal Health. And then we're going to talk BQA with the folks from NCA. That's next here on AgriTalk.
Through local relationship managers, global market experts, and the financial capacity to meet top producers' needs, Rabo AgriFinance offers a personalized approach to lending and risk management. To learn more about how Rabo AgriFinance delivers the financing, knowledge, and networks your operation needs, go to raboag.com. That's RABOAG.com. Or call 855-722-7766. Rabo AgriFinance. Let's talk. Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California financing law license number 603-F585.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Closes where July HRW wheat futures were 8¾ cents lower at 592. July SRW wheat down 9¼ cents to 572¾. July corn futures were 10¼ cents lower at 439¾. December corn futures closed at 456¾. That's down 11 today. July soybean futures were 18¾ cents lower at 1155¼. November beans closed at 1116¾, down 15¼ cents. December cotton today, just 14 points lower, 72.62. On your livestock, August fats were 45 cents higher at 182.55. August feeder futures off 12½ cents to 259.82½. And July lean hogs, 262½ lower on the day at 91.15. Get more? Visit TriProFarmer.com.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Guess what? Today marks the summer solstice.
Partly cloudy skies, spotty shower chances still sprinkle their way into our afternoon, while high temperatures flirt with 70. Tomorrow, expect heavy rain and thunderstorms, bringing another flash flood potential. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now, 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 72.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us, and we are live from Stillwater, Oklahoma, the Oklahoma State University campus. We're down here for the Trust in Beef Ranchers Tour at Bertram Cattle. Just had a conversation with Clay Bertram talking about that virtual fence. It is a pretty remarkable piece of technology that they have put to work to manage their grazing out there. And it's all working for them, and they're learning a lot from what they're doing with that technology as it comes on. All right, Merck Animal Health is a partner with Trust in Beef, and Dr. Dina Hardy joins us right now from Merck Animal Health. Dr. Hardy, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me, Chip. I'm excited to be here today.
I'm glad that you're here. So here you are at the Sustainability Tour out here in Stillwater. Why? What brings Merck Animal Health?
Well, Merck is a partner with our farmers and ranchers, right? And farmers and ranchers, in my mind, are the first industry to be sustainable and think about sustainability, whether they knew it or not. And so for us, sustainability is a pillar of our business, but more so it's a pillar of the business for our customers and our end users. And so that's why we're excited to be a trusted partner. And I think this Trust in Beef program is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it that you know, we talk about the storytelling all the time and how beef is a sustainable product. Farmers just need to do a better job, or ranchers need to do a better job of telling the story. What do you hope that Merck Animal Health, working with Trust in Beef, what does that story sound like?
Well, at the core of it, right, I'm a veterinarian, and we are an animal health company, being a traditional biopharma company and also a technology company. So in my mind, healthier animals combined with progressive ranches, operations, it all ties in together. Like I said, our goal is to be able to help those guys make the best decisions that makes them profitable, but also do things that are right for the environment, for their land, for the animals, and for their legacies. And like I said, most of those guys are already doing it. And if we can be any piece of that and help them tell the story, to me, that's a win for everyone in the industry.
Okay. There's got to be some common ground on those operations that could make some improvement. Let's talk to them directly when it comes to their nutrition and the animal well-being. If there's any general advice that you could give, what might that be?
That's a loaded question.
Well, that's why I was so cautious.
That's loaded. So I'm fortunate that I get to travel a lot of the country. So I call the Texas Panhandle home now, but I'm from the Southeast and have practiced in central Nebraska and run a few cows here in central Oklahoma, right? So I get to see a lot of the country. And I think the guys who are doing it really well, as Clay just mentioned, they're measuring things. They're looking at the data. They know the value in what they have, and they can make good decisions based on the data. That's a little bit my bias. Yeah. But there's not really blanket statements. Obviously, a good plan of nutrition, right? And making sure those cows are in good shape when they have calves, or good quality colostrum. And that trickles all the way through the beef production industry. And a good solid herd health program. But what that means for someone in central Nebraska might be a little bit different for the guy here in central Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
So again, preventative herd health and good plan of nutrition.
Yep. Good. So when you look at the beef industry in general, what gives you hope going forward? What makes you feel good about this beef industry well into the future?
Oh, that's also a good question. And as someone who I think represents a little bit of the minority, a millennial female.
Yeah.
I'm excited because my friends who aren't in the industry, they love our product. I use them as a marker for what's in on their minds, right? And usually when I'm asking, you know, hey, have you had a steak lately, or have you been in the grocery stores, et cetera, it's overwhelmingly positive. So while there's a lot of naysayers, and that's really easy to focus on, I think we have to celebrate in the good that we do as an industry. I also think kind of the agriculturalist, the agrarian lifestyle, a lot of my friends really aren't curious and interested in that. I joke that kind of homesteading in the suburbs is becoming popular again. Don't ask me how to do a sourdough starter, but I have girlfriends who are all about that and fresh eggs. And so I just think it's fun that they're kind of coming back to their roots and maybe starting to recognize what we in the industry have been doing for a long time. So again, it's easy to focus on the naysayers, but I think as an industry, we have a lot to look forward to. And programs like Trust and Beef are, you know, they get you excited because you're in a room of people who are wanting to network and talk about the things that we all have in common.
Man, that's very cool, Dina. It's a great message. And I love what you're saying about the millennials. And I think you're exactly right. Their appreciation for good food is through the roof. And beef is definitely part of that.
It's definitely a cornerstone of a lot of their diets.
Absolutely. That is Dr. Dina Hardy. She is with Merck Animal Health. Thank you so much, Dina.
Thanks, Chip.
All right. Let's bring in John Patrick Lopez. John is the VP for Strategy, Communications, and Government Affairs at Lopez Dorada Foods. John, thanks for making time for us today, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Here's the deal. I think a lot of listeners are thinking to themselves, I've never had a product from Lopez Dorada. And the reality is, more than likely, they have, haven't they?
That is correct. We're one of the larger food companies that no one's ever heard of. And
not
intentionally. We've just, as we've grown and gotten bigger, you know, we're a private company, privately family-owned business. But yes, we are a supplier to McDonald's, both obviously in the U.S., but we also do supply some products globally. But yes, beef and pork. And poultry here in the U.S., so there's a good chance you've had some product that's come from our
farm. Aren't you responsible for the McRib?
We are. So
that's got cult following.
It's one of my favorite sandwiches. We're we are the largest supplier of McRib for McDonald's when it when that promotion does happen. It typically is a fourth quarter promotion. It's, you know, because it's a heavy hot barbecue sandwich, right? So it goes really well when it's a little bit cold, cooler at fall, winter. So yeah, it's typically in the fourth quarter. We never know when it's going to be or if they're going to do it every year, but if they do it, we're there.
Now, when McDonald's came out and said that they were going to be getting involved in beef sustainability, the round table, and just the sustainability effort at all, and you're like the first rung down on that supply chain. Had to catch your attention.
Yeah, there's no doubt. So, you know, obviously the U.S. roundtable supports the North American roundtable and the North American roundtable supports the global roundtable. So, you know, we're listening to sustainability efforts from a global standpoint and then understanding what how that impacts North America and then in particular the U.S. You know, we partner with the other grinders that supply McDonald's. To look at new and innovative ways to bring a sustainability solution for brand McDonald's, for the U.S. roundtable. And ultimately, it makes our total environmental footprint better, which consumers today really are concerned about.
Love it. So why are you out on the ranch at this sustainability ranchers tour?
Yeah, so this Trust and Beef program, I thought, was a great way to collaborate with industry, which is something that we take a lot of pride in. We love to engage with ranchers, with farmers, producers, because if we only pay attention to what we're doing, then we're missing out on the impacts that come before us and come after us. It's really, really important to make sure that we all understand and work together that this farm-to-fork effort is we all play a part, and we have to understand what's coming before us. Since we're just the grinder, we're not a harvest facility, so we have to understand the issues that affect harvest. We have to understand what's affecting feedlots. We have to understand what's happening at the rancher level. We have to understand what's happening with water. We have to understand what's happening with grain. Mm-hmm. We have to understand what's happening with import and export markets. All of that ties into a lot of what we're doing. And so to be a part of the solution means you have to have a total view from farm to fork. And that is why we come and engage at events like this, because I know, me personally, I learn a lot every time I come to events like this. Our company learns a lot, and we try and share best practices wherever we can and make sure we understand the perspective. We have to do a better job of listening, you know, from up, down, and down, top down, and bottom up. But we also have to make sure that we're engaging and telling our story the right way. It's so, so critical that we engage.
So the listening part, we've been told for a long time that the sustainability issue in general is a consumer driven issue. Is that right?
I do believe that it's twofold. In my opinion, so in the case of McDonald's, right? McDonald's is deciding who they want to be and why. They're taking a stance because this is what they believe is the right thing to do based on the scope and the scale and the size of their total operation. They are also listening to the consumers that are telling them that this is important to them, that, you know, and until they see some progress XYZ, you know, they're not going to bring their children to McDonald's because they want to feel good about where they're spending their dollars. That's happening at the retail level too. It's not just McDonald's. But you know, McDonald's has to do what they feel is right for their company. We at Lopez Dorada are doing the same thing.
Yeah,
we want to help support McDonald's in their effort to be net neutral by 2050, but we also want to do what we feel is right based on the scope and scale of the size of our company.
It's fantastic. It's really an interesting conversation. I feel like I could have talked with both our guests there for a full hour here, and we'd still be going. John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. That is John Patrick Lopez. He's the VP Strategy and Government Affairs at Lopez Dorada Foods. We're going to be back to wrap up today's AgriTalk here in a moment.
Shaw's Gas, downtown Durand, is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shaw's customers have come to know and trust. Shaw's offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shaw's is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shaw's Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shaw's Gas, downtown Durand.
June is Dairy Month. Did you know that Wisconsin dairy farms contribute an estimated $43 billion to the state economy? No other single product produced in Wisconsin creates a greater economic impact, and milk is the top commodity in Pepin, Pierce, Buffalo, Dunn, and Eau Claire counties. Thank you, dairy farmers, for all your hard work. This June Dairy Month message is brought to you by Farm First Dairy Cooperative, where it's always been about dairy producers and their cows, as it should be. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com for more information.
This June Dairy Month, we celebrate our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, and develop the next generation of young leaders. Farm First is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to its members. Thank you to all dairy farm families this June. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how we put farm families first.
Don't miss the 2024 Northern Wisconsin State Fair, July 10th through the 14th. On Thursday, July 11th, it's Grammy nominee and CMA Award winner Lee Bryce on the Riding Cougars main stage. Tickets are selling fast at NWSFA.com. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Mike Howell, host of The Dirt, an economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode.
If we have too much fertilizer too close to the seed, that can impair the germination of the seed. And that's a salt effect. That's the salts in the soil solution impairing the ability of the seed to take in water and germinate. We may not have a high total salt load, but we can certainly have salt effects as a result of how we manage the fertilizer, where we place the rates. If we're fertilizing, let's say, some of the high-value crops and we're applying very high rates of fertilizer on a continual basis, if we don't have good drainage and we don't have proper fertilizer management, particularly we don't want to apply excesses of fertilizer, but these are some potential sources of salts in the soil.
Alan, you mentioned that fertilizer could be a source of this salinity, and here in the Southeast, I usually don't run into this problem. In fact, I think I've only seen this problem twice in my career, and both of these went back to a fertilizer application. One application, the grower had put all of the fertilizer he needed for the entire year within a couple of weeks of planting time, and it turned off really dry. We didn't get any rain to flush those salts out of the system, and he had a pretty bad stand failure and had a bad crop all year long. Another one was closer to home here in Mississippi, and they had side dressed some sweet potatoes with fertilizer, and then it turned off really dry, and we weren't able to flush the salts out of it that way. So those are the two situations that I've ran into, and it always comes back to a lack of water in my part of the world. Typically, if we get a rain, we can flush those salts out of the system. If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com. And stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. We're in Stillwater, Oklahoma, on the campus of Oklahoma State University. It's a Trust in Beef Ranchers Tour. And guys have been sharing ideas and communicating their sustainability stories down here and learning from each other. That's kind of the cool thing that's happening. And some of the educational things that are happening at the Trust in Beef Ranchers Tour is some beef quality assurance certification. Here to talk about that right now is Josh White, Senior Executive Director, Producer Education and Sustainability at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Josh, it's good to see you again.
Good to be here. It's always fun when I can get out on a ranch, too. So I love when I can sneak out and get on.
I don't like what's going on with these tours, the Trust in Beef tours.
It's been great. Some of my team was down at Meredith Ellis GBARC for the first one. I wasn't able to make that one, but we were there. We were present, and I'm looking forward to all of them, but known Clay Bertram for a long time, you know, a good volunteer leader at the state and national level.
Yeah.
And I mean, it takes people like that getting involved, real ranchers, and what he and his dad have done to build an operation here close into Stillwater and put some property together to really pretty nice cow herd too we got to see today.
Right. For a long time, we've been struggling with an understanding of sustainability. Do you feel like we're finally settling on a definition of sustainability?
Absolutely. I think we've got it narrowed down pretty good. You know, some folks seem to want to make it more complicated than it needs to be. But talking to cow-calf producers and feed yard guys every day, I mean, it's really about taking great care of the cattle. taking care of the resources you have under your control, the land, the inputs, taking care of the people, and trying to turn a profit. I mean, it's really not that complicated. We've been doing that,
Josh,
forever anyway.
That's been the recipe to success forever.
That's right. That's right. And I think, you know, documentation of a lot of that's maybe more important than it has been. And that's why, again, we're here getting folks BQA certified, because when we can represent, you know, hundreds of thousands of folks in the cattle industry certified actively, that means in the last 3 years, you've gotten certified. That packs a big punch when that narrative is able to be moved forward.
What is BQA?
Beef Quality Assurance. It's a total quality management of our cattle. We do touch a little bit on the environment, worker safety, things like that. But, you know, it has its roots in that connecting everyday production practices that we do, whether it's cattle health, feed, transportation, to a high quality end product.
Okay.
Making sure we're delivering the best we can for consumers.
So, yeah. Well, consumers and the export market. We can't forget that in this case, because a lot of that animal care and the product that we're selling into the export market, if it's coming off an animal that isn't as healthy as it should be, we're going to know.
Absolutely. And we've built a strong reputation internationally on quality, but also on the BQA program. You know, a few years ago, we worked with USDA to review the BQA program, and we met the ISO standard that's based on the World Organization for Animal Health's Beef Cattle Code. BQA stood up to the test on that for cattle welfare and health. And so we're actually recognized internationally to that ISO standard. So it definitely gives us a big leg up in the sustainability conversation globally, and also in the beef export world for that technical piece of cattle welfare.
Okay. How difficult is it to become BQA certified?
Well, we're working on one right now, about an hour and a half training and test all in. Of course, we've covered some of those topics today throughout the day, so that tightens it up. We had a great talk from Merck, one of your earlier guests, veterinarian there, did a talk on cattle health. So we covered some of it earlier and talked about cattle behavior out at the Bertram Ranch. And then we were able to come in here, talk about biosecurity and transportation, some other key points, and give them a test and get certified. Of course, I point people to BQA.org. We've got a nice new interactive feature on there now that you can scroll over a map and it'll pop up your state coordinator, who to get in contact with to look for in-person training. If they have any coming up and they've let us know, it'll pop up right on the screen where the location, date, and time of one near you. So you can play around with that tool. You can always get certified with the online modules if you're not able to make it to an in-person certification. And that's free 24/7, 365 days a year.
Awesome. And once a producer is BQA certified, what benefits do they get from it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the education in and of itself, I think, is beneficial. You know, I mentioned this morning when I was talking to a group, we've had, I think, 3 regulatory changes around antibiotic use in the last 5 years. So it's hard to keep up if you're not getting that information from somewhere. And we package it all up in a way that makes sense to cattle ranchers in the BQA program. So you get updated information. You know, we've had studies done by CSU Ag economists using Western livestock auction market data. Yeah. I know the folks here at Oklahoma State teamed up with K-State, and they've reviewed the Superior data the last few years, and they show, you know, usually a few dollars ahead or more, depending on the class and age and weight, sex, all that. But there's always a little premium shown in that BQA certification. And like I just mentioned, it's free to get certified. So why not take
advantage? Why not take it?
If you're selling load lots,
It's
definitely been proven, you know, when you put your BQA certification number on, carry some weight.
Gotcha. Josh, thanks for making time for us. We sure appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
You bet. Josh White, Senior Executive Director, Producer Education, Sustainability at NCBA. Davis, that is going to wrap up our coverage from Stillwater, buddy.
All right. You going to get a little red fishing in on the way home at all? You going to make a little detour?
Hey, you know, I could maybe do some of that, because I got to admit, we've got a chunk of the show ready to go for you tomorrow morning.
Excellent.
Yes. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, and I had a conversation with USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack today. And we talked about progress on the farm bill. We talked about some of the sustainable ag, climate smart ag programs that are out there. We've got a couple of segments of that conversation with USDA Secretary coming your way tomorrow morning right here on AgriTalk. Thank you so much for listening today. Certainly appreciate it. Stay tuned. We've got the Free For All and Tom Vilsack coming your way tomorrow morning right here on AgriTalk.
Through local relationship managers, global market experts, and the financial capacity to meet top producers' needs, Rabo AgriFinance offers a personalized approach to lending and risk management. To learn more about how Rabo AgriFinance delivers the financing, knowledge, and networks your operation needs, go to raboag.com. That's RABOAG.com. Or call 855-722-7766. Rabo AgriFinance. Let's talk. Loans made or arranged pursuant to a California financing law license number 603-F585.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.